The film Gangs of New York is based on a 1928 book of the same name by Herbert Asbury. It's been republished and is currently on the bestseller list. Historian Tyler Anbender says many of the most sensational stories in the book are based on the unreliable press coverage of the time and aren't true. Anbender is the author of the book 5 Points, the 19th century New York City neighborhood that invented tap dance, stole elections, and became the world's most notorious slum. Anbender is an associate professor of history at George Washington University. He consulted with Martin Scorsese on the screenplay of Gangs of New York. 5 Points was located about a half mile north of the Brooklyn Bridge. The area is now the lower part of Chinatown, just south of Canal Street, at the foot of the Bowery. I asked Tyler Anbender what made 5 Points notorious.
Living conditions for the predominantly immigrants who lived in the neighborhood were as bad as anywhere in the United States and perhaps anywhere in the Western world. The neighborhood had been built over what had been a lake in the south central part of Manhattan. They filled over the lake, but they didn't do a very good job of it, and so the buildings they built over the lake began to sag and droop almost immediately. As a result, the wind in the winter poured in, and so it was very cold. And the immigrants who were coming to 5 Points were the poorest of the poor immigrants coming to the United States, people who literally could afford to go no farther once the boat dropped them off in New York. And so these tenements were terribly overcrowded. And once they became overcrowded, the sanitary conditions in the tenements became really horrendous. You had outhouses in the backyards that overflowed, and people who got terrible diseases like cholera as a result of those poor sanitary conditions.
In Martin Scorsese's film Gangs of New York, the conflict revolves around the Irish immigrants and the group known as the Natives, which are American-born people of Protestant Anglo-Saxon descent who hate all the new immigrants coming in, thinking the new immigrants are ruining New York and ruining America. Was that a real conflict that was going on in 5 Points?
Not so much in 5 Points. You've got a neighborhood that's, in terms of adult population, 80% or 90% immigrant. And so a nativist gang is going to get pummeled in 5 Points. And so the idea that's portrayed in the movie that there's this nativist gang led by Daniel Day-Lewis that controls 5 Points could never have happened because simply the Irish were too numerous in 5 Points. So the nativists were going to be in other parts of the city, were rarely going to show their faces in 5 Points because they knew they would not be welcome there.
So the butcher character played by Daniel Day-Lewis, there's no historical person who that character is based on?
Oh, no. That is the Bill the Butcher character is based on really two people. The one he's named after was a real New York City politician named Bill the Butcher Poole, who had started as a butcher. He was not a nativist gang leader. He was a Whig politician, a member of the Whig Party. Uptown, not down in 5 Points, and became famous really overnight because he had gotten into a fight with an Irish American politician, and that politician's friends then came and shot Poole, and Poole supposedly said as he lay dying on this saloon floor on Broadway, "Goodbye, boys, I die a true American," and the movie has Daniel Day-Lewis saying that when he's killed at the end of the movie. The other character that the Daniel Day-Lewis figure is based on is a guy named Isaiah Rinders. And actually, more of what's portrayed in the movie matches this fellow Rinders. He was a gang leader more so than Bill Poole was. He had a gang made up mostly of ex-prize fighters, bare-knuckle prize fighters, who he would lead to the polls to intimidate people from voting for Rinder's opponents. And that was very much a common thing in the 19th century. If you wanted to win an election, you put muscle at the polls to stop people from voting for your opponents. And Rinders actually did try to go to 5 Points and try to take over 5 Points politics. And he brought his gang with him. The Irish came. This was at a primary meeting. And the Irish came and opposed him. And they had a big brawl. And in the end, the Irish had won. And Rinders was kicked out of the neighborhood. And that was the end of it. So Scorsese has taken those two stories, the one of Poole and the one of Rinders, that are both told in the Asbury book Gangs of New York, and made those into the character of Bill Cutting in the movie.
Let's talk a little bit more about what life in Five Points must have been like. You write about one building called the Old Brewery, which you describe as the most repulsive building of its day, a vast dark cave, a black hole into which every urban nightmare and unspeakable fear could be projected.
The Old Brewery was, as the name implies, once a brewery, sitting on the shores of the old collect pond, using the water from there to make the beer. It was closed down and converted eventually into a tenement. And it was particularly notorious, first, because it was a huge building, an industrial building. And when they subdivided it, many of the apartments had no windows at all. And so, of course, there aren't too many people who are going to voluntarily live in an apartment with no windows and no light. So only the poorest of the poor residents of Five Points lived there, the most desperate people, the people with hardly any money. And as a result, conditions there became quite terrible. The darkness, disease was rampant there because of the lack of ventilation, the lack of proper sanitary facilities, because you've got this huge building with hundreds of inhabitants and not nearly the outhouse facilities to accommodate them. It was a favorite hideout for thieves from the neighborhood who would run in there, hide there, loot from the police for a later time. So because of the crime, because of the destitution, because of the overcrowding, the Old Brewery became the most notorious tenement probably that New York ever had.
In Gangs of New York, fighting and brutality become sport and entertainment. I mean, you see this in theaters as well as on the street. What was entertainment like in Five Points?
Fighting was definitely a form of entertainment in 19th century New York. You have bare-knuckle prize fighting, not done in the city itself because it's illegal, not done on a barge as is portrayed in the movie either, but you'd go to a rural place like Staten Island or some other place where these fights would be held. But you did have sparring in bars as a spectacle. People would come to these bars to see the sparring that went on. There were all sorts of favorite modes of entertainment in Five Points. In particular, dancing was a favorite. The neighborhood was famous for its dance halls. These tended to be basement dance halls, tiny places by modern standards. You know, a room maybe 25 feet wide and at most 50 feet long. And that had to include, of course, chairs and a bar as well, and a tiny dance floor. And you'd have a fiddler in the corner maybe with someone playing a tambourine as well or a harmonica. And people would dance. And in fact, it appears that it was in these Five Points dance halls that tap dancing was invented, as the Irish came to the neighborhood bringing their native dances such as the jig, those kind of high-stepping dances. They met the neighborhood's African-American inhabitants whose dances included things like the shuffle. And it's said that in these competitions, friendly competitions, it developed amongst the Five Pointers that tap dancing is invented.
Gangs of New York climaxes with the draft riots of 1863. What set off these riots?
The draft riots were set off by a number of things. First, New Yorkers had never really accepted the idea of going to war against the South. The New York economy was very much tied to the Southern economy. Much of the cotton that was produced in the South came through New York on its way to the mills of New England or Europe. New Yorkers saw their economy very much as linked to that of the South through its financing, through the merchants who handled the cotton and so forth. So New Yorkers were not that thrilled to have to go to war to fight the South in the first place. That became even more so when Lincoln, in the middle of 1862, announced the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, that beginning in 1863, if the South did not give up, that the slaves would be freed. And that turned the war from a war to save the Union into a war to end slavery. And New Yorkers were especially not interested in fighting a war to end slavery. Most New Yorkers did not see slavery as such a terrible institution were not willing to lay down their lives to end it. Then finally, in mid-1863, the Lincoln administration decided that because volunteering for the army was declining, that a draft was necessary. Both the South and the North instituted a draft in the middle of the war. And so now, for the first time, Americans might have to fight against their will, might be dragged into the contest even if they objected to it. Part of the draft law said that if you could pay $300, a drafted person could be exempted from the war. And five-pointers and poor New Yorkers in general hated that aspect of the draft law. They thought that that turned the war into a poor man's fight and allowed the well-to-do to stay out of harm's way. So all those factors combined to cause this terrible outbreak of violence when the draft begins in July of 1863.
So who rioted and what were their targets?
The rioters were predominantly Irish-American New Yorkers who saw themselves as the target of the draft law and those who would be unfairly singled out to serve in the army. Their targets were really everything that they saw as representations of the Republican Party. So they attacked the homes of famous Republicans. They attacked the newspaper offices of those newspapers that supported the Lincoln administration, and especially those that supported emancipation. And they attacked New York City's African-American population, pretty much attacking blacks anywhere they found them all over the city, lynching many, burning down the city's black orphan asylum. And so blacks in particular and symbols of Republican power in general were the targets of the mob's rage.
Military troops were called in to put down the riot. When were they called in?
After about the second day of rioting, when it became clear that this was not just a typical New York riot, troops were called in, and the Army decided to send soldiers who had just been fighting at Gettysburg days before, send them north to New York to help put down the civil unrest there. And it was only after 4 or 5 days that finally the city calmed down again.
So were there a lot of Irishmen from Five Points who were participating in these draft riots, and was Five Points torn apart as the result of the riots?
Five Pointers were not particularly active in the draft riots. We know from looking at the arrest records that not a large number of Five Pointers took place in the most serious fighting. Most of the fighting during the draft riots took place uptown, and it was mostly participated in by people who lived uptown. So no, Five Pointers weren't terribly involved in the most outrageous acts of violence during the fighting. On the other hand, Five Points itself, like almost every neighborhood of New York, was very much torn apart by the rioting, because you have in the neighborhood during the riot, many of the neighborhood's black residents are attacked, probably by Five Pointers, or at least with the certainly there's got to be some help of the whites in the neighborhood to point out which buildings the blacks lived in, because what the rioters tended to do was find out which buildings housed blacks and then attack those buildings, try to burn those buildings down. So there was terrible violence against Five Points' African-American population during the rioting, even though Five Points isn't usually thought of as the place where the riots took place.
During the mid-1800s, when Gangs of New York is set, which groups were represented in the immigrant population of Five Points?
The neighborhood was overwhelmingly Irish. About two-thirds of the neighborhood's inhabitants were Irish immigrants or their young children. But the neighborhood had other immigrants as well. It had a significant number, probably about 15% of the population were German immigrants. There were also significant numbers even at this point of East European Jewish immigrants, especially from Poland, living in Five Points. But it was predominantly an Irish neighborhood, and it was known overwhelmingly as an Irish enclave.
The Irish were despised by a lot of Americans when they came here because they were seen as, you know, the poor immigrants who were coming in with their own culture, bringing poverty, and what else? What were the other reasons why the Irish became so despised as an early immigrant group to the United States?
Part of it definitely has to do with the poverty. Widespread poverty was something simply virtually unknown in America before the 1830s. And so after especially the potato famine in the mid-1840s, and you have tens and hundreds of thousands of completely destitute people arriving in America, many native-born Americans resented the fact that now you have widespread poverty, that crime increases as a result, that this overcrowding of tenements takes place. And that very much worried Americans, even who didn't live in neighborhoods like Five Points, because diseases like cholera that could easily spread throughout a whole city and during various outbreaks in the early 19th century, killed tens of thousands of people in cities like New York and Philadelphia. Cholera could spread from a poor neighborhood like Five Points to a well-to-do neighborhood. And so for all those reasons, immigrants' presence was resented. The other very important factor, though, one that's hard to appreciate today, is that Americans thought of the United States as a Protestant nation. They thought Protestantism was what made America great. So seeing so many Catholics coming to the United States made them fear that the very fabric of the nation was going to change, that the Protestant values that they thought had made America so economically prosperous and so free, that these things were all threatened by Catholics, especially because Catholics were stereotyped in this time to be people who pretty much followed whatever they were told by their priests and their bishops. And so they were thought that they could very much change American politics by creating a voting bloc that could be controlled by a single individual or a set of Catholic leaders.
What would you say is the legacy of Five Points?
One legacy of Five Points is that Five Points, in a way, taught Americans how to deal with poverty. It was in Five Points that many of the things we take for granted today, substance abuse, job training, child care, things that we now accept as the most important facets of helping people get out of poverty, these were things that were tried for the first time in Five Points, because Five Points poverty was so bad that the old things that Americans had done to try to deal with it just didn't work. And so these new things were tried, and many of them became standard parts of the social service system that we know today. Another legacy of Five Points is that, as the movie portrays very well, it was in places like Five Points that Americans had to learn to accept a multi-ethnic nation. In the early 19th century, the United States was overwhelmingly Protestant. And in Five Points, Americans for the first time had to deal with the fact that more people want to come to the United States than just Protestants, just English people, for example. And it was in places like Five Points that different ethnic groups, different religious groups, for the first time had to learn to get along. And it wasn't always very easy, and often there was a lot of violence, a lot of resentment. But eventually it was through places like Five Points that the multi-ethnic nation we know today was created.
Tyler Anbinder, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Tyler Anbinder is the author of the book Five Points. He's an associate professor of history at George Washington University. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.